This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, December 22, 2021. Wednesday after the fourth Sunday in Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He that is mighty has done great things for me. Through the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, into the Father, and Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Gospel reading today, the Magnificat. Our Lord, Our Lady's canticle of praise to God the Father for blessing her. Magnificat, Magnificat anima mea Dominum. That's the first words in Latin. This is why we call it the Magnificat. This particular prayer is, for those of us bound by the Liturgy of the Hours, is prayed every single night. It doesn't matter what the liturgical season may be. That canticle is sung every night, is a canticle of praise. It doesn't matter what liturgical season it might be, Advent, Lent, there is reason for praising God for what he has done for us. I read a comment on the Magnificat today, and it's right, it's correct. I'm not criticizing comments, but we should join in this canticle every day with great joy. I would take that farther and say we shouldn't just join in with that canticle. We should actually, they should be our words. We should not just join in with Our Lady singing because of what God has done for her, but to understand what he has done for each and every one of us. This is the reality of the canticle of the Magnificat. And I would say take it even further and not just make them our own words, but more so we should live by these words every single day. When we hear the words of the Magnificat, which we do relatively frequently, and again, if you're bound to the Liturgy Hours or if you just do them, you see this canticle every day, this Song of Mary. It is so interesting to look at it and understand that everything that she says he has done for her, he has done for us. But to also understand that it lays the foundation for several of the aspects of our faith that tend to elude people in the modernist presentation of the gospel. We have to look at the words of our Blessed Mother that we know for a fact explicitly from Scripture are said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this canticle is, we should just pay attention to it because Mary said it, because the Blessed Virgin Mary said it, and she was under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Thus saith the Lord. So when we look at this canticle, we should all, every single day, and I don't mean that you're bound to say this, but every single day, again, this is more the practical aspect of living this canticle as opposed to just saying the words. My soul doth magnify the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, maybe not those churchy, flowery, exalted words may come into your head when you roll out of the bed in the morning, but we should, in our faith, understand that at the start of every day, being that you're still taking in air, that should speak to you. And you should magnify God for taking in air. That he let you wake up in the morning, that your death wasn't sudden and unattended in the middle of the night. Contrary to what a whole lot of people like to say, I want to die in my sleep. I don't want to suffer. Rather suffer a little bit here than a whole lot of long time in purgatory without the ministrations of the church to prepare you for your death. So we should magnify the Lord for waking up in the morning. We should magnify the Lord for a roof over our head. We should magnify the Lord for our jobs. We should magnify the Lord for our health. We should magnify the Lord when he gets us through any given day. So just that first line of the canticle should resonate with us throughout our lives. Because he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. These are the words of our Blessed Mother. They apply in spades to us. If the Immaculate One, one conceived without original sin, could say, "He hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden," how much more should we embrace that particular line of the canticle? If the Immaculate One understood that compared to her, it is interesting. Great writers who have written volumes on the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Alphonsus Liguori, he's written some of the most pointed and up-in-your-face books about the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the foreword to one of them, he says, before you read this, you have to understand that our Blessed Virgin Mother is but an atom compared to her son. And then he exalts her with words that would turn most Catholics off in our day and age, in the way he venerates the Blessed Mother. But understanding that this veneration, this deep veneration that he has, and we should all have, this deep veneration is, when you look at our Lord in comparison, she is but an atom. This is the reality. And if this one who is immaculately conceived could say he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid, how much more us? How much more us who were born dead in trespasses and sins, who were born under the sway of original sin as she was not, who continue to commit actual sins time and time and time again throughout our life after baptism, as we receive the Eucharist, as we read Scripture, as we know His will more and more, and we still drift away from that will? He hath regarded our lowliness. He regards our lowliness constantly, and we should appreciate that. Again, living these words and understanding that and approaching Him like that. Because He that is mighty hath done great things for me. My emphasis all the time, righteous and just. A lot of places, all we ever hear anymore is grace and mercy. You never, ever read in Scripture where He that is gracious and merciful has done great things for me. Yes, He's done great things for you, which shows you He's gracious and merciful, but He that is mighty has done great things for you. This appeal to God's omnipotence, His being all-powerful, that is what we need to understand foundationally about Him and what He has done for us. He who is mighty has regarded our lowliness. He who is omnipotent has given regard to our complete and utter weakness in depravity. This is the reality check in the words of our Blessed Mother. His mercy is from generation to generation, not period. You know, there, see, it talks about mercy right there. He's merciful from generation to generation. Note the caveat. He's merciful from generation to generation to them that fear Him. Not everyone. Those that fear Him. It's like a couple weeks ago when I was talking about, you know, the angels and the shepherds. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men and for those with whom He is pleased. There you go. This is not unconditional. No matter how many of your friends and father so-and-so and bishop so-and-so says, this is not unconditional. It's nothing but conditional. His mercy is from generation unto generation for those that fear Him. They receive His mercy. And then again, the order of things. And He has filled the hungry. The first thing, He hath put down the mighty. Again, His justice comes first. He that is mighty, He's put down the mighty. Or I should say, those who think that they are mighty. Those who lord it over people in this world. Those who think there's something special down here. He hath put down those. And He has exalted the humble and meek. There He shows His mercy. Before He shows His mercy, He will show His justice. He's done that for each and every one of us. Those of us who embrace His grace and mercy have to understand that we started to understand that when we knew that He that is mighty has done great things for us. He has convicted us of sin. He has shown us His justice. He has shown us the necessity for His salvation. They always say, you don't need grace and mercy if His justice isn't hanging over your head. as he spoke to our forefathers, his faithfulness. He always keeps his promises. If he didn't, he would be imperfect. And that means he wouldn't be God, because God is perfect. He cannot deceive or be deceived. And we look at history, everything that he promised, everything has come to the fore up to our Lord Jesus Christ. The entire Old Testament, nothing but prophecy after prophecy, men who lived on different continents at different times, at different stations of life, all consistent in their prophecies of this one that was going to come and save us. And then we have our Lord Jesus Christ. They all came true. He established a church, and he's made more prophecies. They're going to come true also. He has come as our Savior. He will come as our judge. Just as really as the prophecies of the Old Testament about a coming Savior came true, so are the ones that are about his coming judgment. This is what we prepare for in this day. Because whether he comes down from heaven and judges us, or he takes us up, which will be the lot for most of us, on our own death, we will be taken up to heaven by our guardian angel and stand before his particular judgment. This is what we prepare ourselves for. This is where we prepare ourselves. This is where we get the words of this canticle should be placed in our hearts and in our minds. And more so, I would say, in our lives, is because they reflect God's faithfulness. The one who uttered these words first, the Immaculate One, we should cherish a filial love for her, a veneration for her. This isn't something that, you know, I've just never been into the Mary thing so much. Shame on you. What she endured for your salvation, because everything that she endured, well, she did it for Jesus. Why did Jesus come? For our salvation. So everything that she dealt with in her life, Our Lady of Sorrows, she dealt with in order to cooperate with the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. To look down on that, I don't look down on it. I'm just not, you know, that much into veneration. That's looking down on it. As I said before, we have to understand the words of Alphonsus, that compared to her son, she is but an atom. He is the creator. She is the creature. She was finite. He is infinite. Yeah, granted. But nonetheless, we have to venerate her for what she has done for us and what she's provided for us. She, even in her words, has provided an understanding of her son. So, as I said at the end of Sunday, we need to follow her very, very simple instructions to do what he tells us. In the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.